Well, welcome to Studios 301. We opened at the end of February, so we're going to give you a little bit of a tour. We've actually got 25 spaces and 15 control rooms.
You got it, yeah, time. 301's hidden away in an unprepossessing light industrial backstreet, surrounded by factories and forklift trucks. There are no stylish cafes and coffee shops for the musicians to drop into, as there were at their last location. But what there is acoustical genius, coupled with an unprecedented willingness to lay out the cash to create something world-class. These recording studios are a lavish gift to the Australian recording industry, albeit one they have to pay to use. And once you enter the front door, there's all the colour, beauty and style that's lacking in the neighbourhood. There's even coffee.
These are some of the artists and CDs that have been done in all our spaces. Lady
Silver
Gaga,
Chair,
Prince,
Powderfinger,
Jay-Z,
Santana.
Yes.
Slim Dusty.
I've seen the sights of Nashville, walk the streets of old LA. Hang on.
Steve Crane has worked for Studios 301 and its owner Tom Misner for 20 years.
I'm the technical director. I build it and fix it and modify it.
You made this place out of all of your 3D printing models.
Yeah, the technical side.
He designed the layout of the different recording, performance and storage spaces, the way they fit together in a complex pattern of isolated boxes, almost floating in space. But Steve didn't design the acoustics.
Obviously, that was designed by Tom Misner, the owner, along with the alchemist acoustician Jochen Wildt from Germany. Jochen's made, I believe, about 1,000 rooms, some of the best there are.
So show us your room.
Yeah. Okay, of our 15 control rooms and 10 studio spaces, this is the biggest and best one we have. And Owen, our chief engineer.
Hi.
Has probably got a few words about the background of this space.
Yeah, so this space is Studio One. We're standing in a rather large control room.
It's a physically beautiful control room, spacious, paneled in deep blue, with a large Persian carpet on the floor. Through the huge quadruple insulated glass wall is a live performance room that can take a 60-piece orchestra.
It's got a Neve 88R 72-channel console in it. The actual design of the room, again, was done by Jochen, a German acoustician, who's a bit of a maths genius. And the wall itself is actually curved, all of which help disperse the sound around the room.
I heard that wherever you stand in this room, the stereo is perfect.
Yeah. And that's something that a lot of people haven't really experienced in recording spaces before.
Do you find that the musicians actually respond to the space?
Oh, definitely. That's half the challenge, really, is creating a space that a musician can turn up to and feel comfortable in. Like if you've got a singer and they turn up and it's really echoey and boomy and it's too big or too small or anything like that, like, do you think that person's even going to be able to sing correctly? If you create a space that means that it's not comfortable for them to perform in, then you're not ever going to get a good take.
And what about the Persian carpets?
Oh yeah, the Persian carpets. I tend to find the more Persian carpets you have, the better sounding recordings you have. So.
Sound waves bounce off every surface in a room, especially hard surfaces. You'll have noticed that when you go into a particularly industrial-style noisy restaurant. So to create clean, well-balanced sound, you must control the pattern of rebounding. You have to diffuse the sound waves. Jochen Wieth, the German sound alchemist who designed the rooms of Studios 301, has created a device made of wood and metal that I initially took for sculpture.
This particular one has lots of pieces of wood, it's different depths, and it's got lots of holes in it.
In my mind, it sat with the parquet floors and rich rugs, even the lava lamps. But as I discovered, like them, it has a very specific acoustic purpose. Each piece of gleaming wood, each narrow strip of metal, each hole drilled into the wood is precisely calibrated to alter the behavior of sound waves in the room.
One way of explaining how it works is if you saw a sea break or big rocks that are meant to diffuse the waves that the ocean coming in. So each part of the wave hits a different part of the rock and thereby diffuses the energy, hence a diffuser.
This is not a room where you need to search for the sweet spot. Wherever you sit or stand, the stereo is perfect.
This is the first top-level build music studio we've had in Australia. This is really special.
Let's go and see where the musicians are.
Oh my God, here we go.
Oh, whoa, this is huge. So do you have full orchestras in here?
Yeah, so we've designed this space for a 60-piece orchestra.
And look at this parquet floor. I hear a hum. I didn't expect to hear a hum. What's all this about?
We've got some amplifiers in the room at the moment. So.
Okay, going to turn them off. Okay, let's listen to the quiet. So this is your workspace?
Yeah, this is my workspace. And in the rest of the room, we've got our grand piano, the Yamaha C7. We've got all our mic stands. We've got a few different baffles that we can put around people to tame the sound a bit if needed. Taking someone out of their bedroom, putting a set of headphones on them and making them stand in front of a mic in the middle of a big room can be quite daunting and not very nice. So we've got the baffles. We can bring them around people to help them feel a bit more enclosed. Every single thing that's inside this room is designed with the frequencies in mind. So even if you're looking at the floor, the walls, all of the treatment, every single thing in here is designed with the fact that it's going to give you some kind of frequency response and some kind of tone.
So if you just had wide planks, it wouldn't give you the same tone?
No, it would be completely different.
What a nice reason to have this floor.
Yeah, it's
but
a
it must
floor.
Have cost a bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not cheap. But if you're going to have things sound good, you kind of have to spend some money sometimes. All right, Shelley, that was really good. What we'll do is I'm just still kind of tweaking the sound a bit. So if you could just play for a little while, I'll get your headphones sorted out. We'll just make sure you can hear everything properly and then we'll go from there. All right, thanks.
And where are we going now?
Studio 2.
I was scared of dentists and the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations.
Studio 2 is where masterer Steve Smart works his own kind of magic.
Yeah, the magician's assistant in the
You probably know a lot of his songs, including this one. This is beautiful. I really like all the glitter sort of thing on the keyboard.
Oh yeah,
keyboard.
Gotta go the bling, gotta go the bling.
So, okay, this is a really different room, a really different space. Everything is color and lights, but what happens in here? What do you do, Steve?
Mastering is the stage where after it's been recorded, after it's been mixed, it's then brought into the mastering room and assembled as a full project. Say we're talking about an album here. I'm at the moment working on an album that's been mixed by three different engineers, but there's been one producer. So my job here is today, I guess, is to bring all of those different textures and sounds that the engineers have created and get them all together so that we end up with a nice continuity throughout the whole project itself. Basically, so you don't have to get off the couch when you're listening to the album. Play with the volume control or the tone controls. That's my job.
Steve Smart's working in one of Jochen's rooms with near-perfect acoustics and the best Persian carpet. He's just played us a bit of the track he's currently working on. I can't play it to you, unfortunately, as it hasn't been released yet.
I felt that in this room, after referencing it in this room, I felt that it lacked a little bit of sparkle, a little bit of zing, a little bit of excitement around the sort of top region, and also the low frequency. The kick drum and the bass guitar weren't quite as defined as I'd like them to be. So I gave them a little bit extra treatment, so there's more definition in the rhythm section, both in the low end and the high end. And also as a part of that, It's a solo artist. Basically, it's her record, so I've paid particular attention to the quality and the texture of the vocal in this music because it's her record, and she's got to sound wonderful.
One thing I haven't mentioned about this room, it has a console that looks like the love child of the original Starship Enterprise and modern European design, and was designed by technical director Steve Crane.
I designed the technical installation.
He drew it up in his little CAD, and he actually made a 3D model of it, and we all looked at it and went, beautiful. Came up with the design and had it manufactured locally by a company around the corner, and they've done an absolutely beautiful job. It looks simply spectacular.
Look, I'd have it as a piece of art. It's gorgeous.
We made three of them, and they're color-coded to the rooms, by the way.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're most welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak. Steam at 45 degrees.